day before, I'm like, oh, why did I say yes? Why did I say yes? So here we are with my nerves, but I do believe that God has something for you today. As Westview, for those watching online, maybe today or later, I really do feel that what God has put on my heart for today, and I can feel it, it's going to be challenging for some maybe, but it's something we need to hear. I know I need to hear this, and I'm hope and I pray that you are ready to hear what God has to share. Sorry, I didn't introduce myself. My name is Hanukkah. I'm the children and family pastor here. Usually I'm upstairs with the kids, and this morning I have a privilege to be here. And I honestly see it as a privilege to be able to share what God has put on my heart when preparing these verses. Now, we are finishing up our mini-series of powerful prayers. We started with Tyler sharing about Hannah's prayer. Last week, Gary was talking about Daniel's prayer. And today, we're going to go and look at Jesus' prayer. But before we go to John 7, chapter 17, where we see Jesus' prayer, I just want to give you a tiny bit of context, because again, I only have so much time right now to share with you, but there's so much here. And to understand chapter 17, to understand Jesus' prayer, you kind of have to read chapters 14 to 16 as well. So just before the disciples and Jesus go into the upper room and they have their last meal together, the Last Supper, you see Jesus serving his disciples by washing his feet. He's taking on a servant. Then he is doing the communion that we know now as communion, Last Supper, also called that way, the bread and the wine. And Jesus says there's more to it. There's another layer to this wine and this bread. And in this time, in the upper room with his disciples, with his loved ones, before he goes into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, and we know the story, we know that he will be arrested there. Before he knows he's going to be arrested, before he knows he's going to be crucified on the cross, he's taking this last time to teach his disciples some crucial, crucial things. Now, Westview, just for a moment, if you would know that tomorrow it would be your time to die, what would you do today? If tomorrow you know I won't be around here anymore, what would you do today? I think I would make sure that I share with my loved ones, with my parents, with my husband, with my kids, with those that I love. I would share everything that I find important. I want to share how much I love them. I want to share how much Jesus loves them. I want to share all the things that especially my kids when they're teenagers, what they're going to go through, but that God is there with them. I want to prepare them. And that is kind of what Jesus is doing in chapters 14 to 16 before he prays. He kind of sets up that time of, this is so important, I want to teach you some really, really crucial things. And again, Westview, I don't have the time to go through all of this, but please read them. Because in those chapters, you will see why, what it means to be a Jesus follower, to be a Christ follower, to be a Christian. And then we arrive in chapter 17. John chapter 17, it's one long prayer. And we can kind of divide the prayer in three sections. So after Jesus teaches all these things, he doesn't stop and say, okay, good, I'm done. I've taught you. I hope you'll remember. Go for it. I'll be arrested. And I know the rest. No, he prays. He prays all that he just taught, and he prays over the disciples and over the believers that are to come. So when we look at John chapter 17, it's kind of three parts. Verses 1 to 5 is Jesus prays for himself. Very short, five verses. He prays for himself. Then he goes into the section of praying for his disciples, those individual disciples that are right there. And then he takes a lot of verses to pray for all of us, to pray for all the believers that are to come, for the church. Church, do you see the movement here? Jesus prays for himself. Then he prays for his disciples, individual disciples, and then he prays for the church, for all the believers that are to come. And that is where we're landing today. Jesus' prayer for all believers, for us. So if you've got your Bibles, if you've got your app, Bible app on your phone, look up John chapter 17, verse 20. So John chapter 17, verse 20, and I'm reading it out of the NIV. My prayer, so this is Jesus praying. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Whew, that might be like a lot of in me's in you's, and where are we at? Let's slow it down. In the chapters before John 17, before he prays, there's a lot of things that are important to Jesus for his disciples to know. And then John 17 is he's praying this over, what he was teaching over the disciples and then over himself. And I don't know if for those of you that are parents or you're all children and have parents, maybe your parents have said, pay attention to this, tell me this, and three times, four times, they tell you the same thing, and you're like, yeah, we've heard you, or you as a parent say that over and over again, and your child says, Mom, you've told me that 1,000 times. It means that it's something very important. And when we see in these chapters, there are some things that come back and back and back. And I think if there's repetition, we need to pay attention. So let me show and share with you, it's already up on the slide, two things that we see repeated here. You see and hear a lot of this language, that all of them may be one, that they may be one, brought to complete unity. We see language about oneness, unity. And the other thing that we see here is words like, you are in me and I am in you, I in them and you in me. Gets confusing maybe, but it kind of is language that shares a relationship between Jesus and the Father and the relationship with them and us. We could say a Trinity language. So again, maybe still a bit confusing at first glance. You are in me, I am in you, I in them, and you in me. But what is Jesus actually saying here? Well, Jesus, and again, when you look at chapter 14 and 16, it makes more sense. Jesus is actually explaining the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. Three different persons. They all have different tasks and roles to play, but they're all one God. Again, something I cannot understand, something we don't know understand how that works. How can three persons be one God? But that is what God is trying to explain and teach. Like, we have all different roles. And within that Trinity, Jesus has experienced this beautiful unity and oneness with God the Father and Holy Spirit. And he's so excited about that experience. He's so excited about that unity that he wants you to experience the same. Another example. What if you probably have been to some beautiful places out there here in Alberta, there's some, I love mountains, and I think most people do, and there's just beautiful, right? And there's other beautiful places. I remember going and visiting the Saskatoon Farm. Any of you have been there? Okay, so some people love it. Okay, I really loved it. And the first time I was there, I was just like, oh, this is an amazing place to me. And for me, immediately, I was like, oh, I want to share this. When my parents come from the Netherlands, I want to bring them there because I want them to experience the same beauty that I am seeing here. That's kind of what Jesus is doing here. He has experienced this beautiful unity and oneness that's always been there before creation. And he was sent to the earth to show the Father and to show this relationship and unity. And he's so excited about it that he wants you to be part of that. That he wants you to experience that same oneness, the same unity with God the Father. Today is Ascension Sunday. It's a Sunday where we remember that Jesus, after his death on the cross, after his resurrection from the cross, he stayed on earth for about 40 days to teach his disciples and do a lot of things that we don't necessarily even know. It's not recorded in the Bible. But after those days, he has his disciples and he goes up into heaven. And again, if you read chapter 14 to 16, you'll see why. He tells his disciples that he needs to go to the Father because then he can send the Holy Spirit. And why is that so important? Is because if we want to experience this unity, this amazing relationship with God the Father, we can only do it through the work of the Holy Spirit living in us. As Romans 8:34 says, Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Interceding, praying. This, John 17, is a prayer. It's a prayer Jesus prays over us, for us, and he is still at the right hand side of the Father, interceding and praying for you. And part of the prayer is that we will have this unity with God the Father like he has experienced. That's the first part of the prayer. The first part of this prayer is that Jesus wants us to experience that unity with God the Father, with God Jesus, with God, Holy Spirit, like he has. That's the first part of the prayer. But then there's the second part of this prayer. This unity, this oneness that the Trinity loves and wants us to be a part of, they also want us as believers, as Christ followers, to experience. And this, my friends, is where it gets tricky. We might be all good with God. Are we good with one another? My husband works in a post-secondary education, and many educated colleagues. And he gets the question, especially when they find out that I'm a pastor, it's like, okay. And the conversations that come is like, yeah, but those Christians, oh, I grew up as a Christian. No, I don't want anymore. There's a lot of negative talk about the church, about Christians. Sometimes it feels, especially in the day and age that we live in, where social media is so easy to get something up and going all over the world, sometimes it's easy to hear all the negative, all the things that we are against, all the protests of Christians, Christ followers. If one person would have their protest sign and go through the streets and yell things, you're like, that person is crazy. But suddenly put 50, 100, few hundred people together saying the same thing, going through streets and protesting. Ooh, people are listening. But Westview, there's an issue here. How are we as Christ followers known in the world? Are we known for those that are against, fill in the blanks? When I look at Jesus' prayer here, I don't see anything against. If you look at the prayer before that, when he prays over his disciples, individual disciples, he actually is saying and praying that they are not taken out of the world, but be part in the world, but be protected from the evil. Sarah, thank you for singing that song during our tithing moment. I don't know if you know the song. They'll know we are Christians by our love. An oldie, I think we looked it up, 1960s, was it, Tyler? Yeah, 1960s, and if you've been a Christian for a while, then maybe you've heard this song. They'll know we are Christians by our love. And the lyrics go, we are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord, and we pray that our unity will one day be restored. They'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. And we'll guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love. Westview, does the world look at us and see our love? See Jesus' love for those around us? In your work, do they see that you're different from them in a good way? Not what you're against, but what you're for? Satan and his evil spirits, whatever you call them, demons, fallen angels, their whole task on this world is to separate us from the love of God. To not have that relationship with God. That's their whole goal. And how they're going to do it, it doesn't matter how they're going to do it. They'll use anything. And you know what? The best way is when there is no unity among Christians. Because then he doesn't have to do anything. Because if we cannot be one, and I'm not just talking about Westview, it's talking about Christians. And for those that know me, this is when Holy Spirit talks. And friends, this is where we need to start going. We have to start being united. And united doesn't mean that we can't have differences. That's the beauty of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three different persons, but one God. They have three different assignments, three different roles, however you want to explain that. But it's one God. They're united in one God. We have so many different giftings here. We have cultural different backgrounds, which is amazing and beautiful. We have to go to a step further and say, with that, how can we be united? How can we experience this oneness that Jesus experienced with the Father and the Holy Spirit? Maybe start looking at what we're for. I heard someone say a few weeks ago, we need to start crucifying complaining. I would add to that, we should crucify comparison. Matthew 22:37-38, the greatest commandment is this, love your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Going back to John 17, verse 22 and 23. I, which is Jesus, have given them, us, the church, the believers, the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Westview, Jesus came to this earth to share and show who the Father is, so that this broken relationship that we have, it could be healed. And now we are commissioned to do the same. We are now called to heal the relationship between every person and God the Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. When people look at you, do they see Jesus? Even if they can't say this is Jesus, do they see that you're different from the rest of the people, or going by standards that are maybe not the cultural standards, but maybe kingdom standards, God's kingdom standards? Jesus prays for unity so that we experience the same oneness as he experienced. He wants us to be just as excited about what he is experiencing. And then he wants us to experience that oneness and unity among each other. Now, this is hard. I understand that. It's hard to love your neighbor. And for some of us, it's hard to love yourself. But this is why on Ascension Sunday today, we remember how God, Jesus went to heaven so that he can send the Holy Spirit to be in you. And he will help you with this. And when we are children of God and the Holy Spirit is living in us, there is no excuse to not love the other. Now here's a crazy thought. What if we stop being selfish and just start looking out for each other? And God gave us a tool for this. It's called prayer. Prayer brings us together, just like worship brings us together. This morning, when we were worshiping together, it brought us together. We were one voice. One voice in Calgary, one voice in the spiritual realm. And prayer does it too. I remember one of the first churches I worked full-time in, they asked me to do some changes in children's ministry. They wanted to go a certain direction, and they thought I was the right person for that, and they asked me to do that. And at one point, I had a meeting with the children's workers that were there at that moment, and I was explaining the changes that we were going to do and where we're heading and all that. And there was one lady, a mom and a children's worker, very intelligent, and she asked a lot of critical questions. And I thought, oh, I'm not sure if I could get her on the same page. It sounds like she's against everything that I feel God is calling me to do here. But then we prayed. We stopped, we prayed as a team. And I will never forget this. She prayed such a beautiful prayer. And in that moment, I had to confess that I was too critical. She was on the same page. She loved God. She loved the children's ministry. Prayer did that. Prayer brings unity. Because when we pray, we all look to Jesus. And we ask Him to be the center of what we do. As I finish, I'm going to ask the worship team if they want to come back up. My prayer is that this prayer that Jesus is praying here, and in a sec I will pray it, that we as Westview are the answer to that prayer. Because I don't know how you feel, but things are going pretty crazy in the world. I have two teenagers, and sometimes I wonder what kind of jobs are there when they're ready to have a job. How will they know the truth if there's so much out there? I really believe we can only tackle what is happening in the world when we are one and united. There's a reason why there is so much distraction and so much spiritual warfare on the church. Because the church is commissioned to share Jesus' love to those around them. If we can't do it together here at Westview or churches here in Calgary, then what will the people think of what a Christian or a Christ follower is? We can be other-focused when we see them as children of God. When we stop comparing, when we stop thinking the other is better or worse than me, when it's not about how amazing you are or how talented you are, but when it's about Jesus in you, you being child of God, Jesus loving you just as much as He loves me. If we can start having those glasses on, I bet you things will change. Westview, if we want to be united as a front, we have to start worshiping together and praying together. And again, you don't have to do it out of your own strength. That's the beautiful thing. God has given us Him to do this, because we can't do it by ourselves. I'm going to challenge you this morning. If you believe, and I'm going to make it as Westview, because that's why we're here. If you say yes, I want Westview to be that message to Ranchlands, to Northwest Calgary, to Calgary, of Jesus' love, then I'm going to ask you to stand. if you say, yes, I want to be part of that. I want to be part of a church that is united among God's love. I'm going to ask you to stand. And I know we have visitors here, and this is for you too in your church. Let me pray the prayer that Jesus prayed so many years ago for us. Let me pray that over Westview. My prayer is not for Westview to be alone. I pray also for everyone who will believe in me through their message of the disciples. That Westview, all of them, may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may Westview also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given Westview the glory that you gave me, that Westview may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May Westview be brought in complete unity, to let the world know, to let Calgary know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me, Westview, who you've given me, to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know, Westview knows, that you have sent me. I have made you known to Westview and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in Westview and that I myself may be in Westview. Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we want to declare this morning that we need you. We need you to stop comparing. We need you to stop complaining. We need you to see the other like you see me and them. And Father, this morning, as Westview together united, I pray that you do your work in Westview, that we may be one like you are one with the Father, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we need you. We need you to work in us and through us so that wherever we go, if it's our work, our home, our family, wherever we are in Calgary or about in different places in Canada, that they will see that we are different in a good way, a different that is loving and kind and for things, because it's your love that we are sharing. Lord, our prayer this morning as Westview United, we pray, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. You may be seated.